Shady greens, patches so rich and so sweet. God leads their children along. When the waters go flow by the where is 1 feet. God leads their children along. Oh, some to the waters, some to the flood, some to the on the mount when the sun shines so bright, God leads their children along. Sometimes in the valley, in the darkest of night, oh, God leads their children along. Oh, some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the Satan knows.
Oh, God leads his dead children along.
Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes.
Oh, God leads his dead children along.
Hallelujah.
Some through the water, some through the fun, some through the fire. Through great sorrow, but God gives a son in the night to see all the children away from the mind, away from the king.
Oh, God leads his dead children along, awaken in glory to
eternity.
Children alone.
Oh, some to the waters, some to the flood, some to the fire, but all to the blood. Oh, some to great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night is through the waters, some through the blood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Oh, some through great sorrow, but God gave the song in the night to sing and all the long.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Shall we just bow our heads for a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that Father, Lord God, even though sometimes we go through the valleys, Lord, but you give us a song in all the trials that we go through. We thank you, Father, for we know all these things are to the working of a good character in us, and we submit ourselves, Lord, to whatever lesson that you want us to learn, Lord. We commit the service to your hands, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over us tonight, that, Lord, you would speak your word to us, Lord, that, Father, it might do a work inside of us that nothing else in this world could touch, Father. Lord, we commit our souls to you, Lord. We open them, Lord God, that you might have full control and have dominion. Lord, have the preeminence over us completely this evening, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, even for the pastor as he prepares himself, that you take over him completely and use him tonight to speak to your children. Amen. Lord God, we are desiring, Lord, to hear a word from you. Lord, just one word from you, Lord, to push us along this journey, Lord, that we have embarked on, Lord. For Father, it is not an easy journey. Lord God, and it's only by your grace, Lord, that we are able to walk it, Lord. So won't you speak to us tonight, Lord, Father, just to give us one word to push us along the way, Father. We pray for the saints that are still on the way. Lord, we commit them to you that you would watch over them, Lord. And Father, some who are at work this night, we pray for them. Watch over them, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would encourage those that are discouraged tonight. Father God, may they remember the gathering of the saints. Lord, especially as we see the day of our redemption drawing nigh, Lord. Father, we pray for them. Encourage them, Lord, that we be with them together on Sunday to praise thy name. Lord, we commit this service to your hands now, and we ask your blessing upon it, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Hallelujah. It's good to trust in the Lord. Amen. I want to just give a short testimony before we continue. I won't take long. For a long time, I've been praying to the Lord. Please sit down. Please, take your seat. I've been praying to the Lord to grant me the opportunity to go to college. And, you know, they have got a law in this country that anytime the government gives you the permit to stay in this country, you have to live here for 3 years. You have to have the permit for 3 years before you are qualified to go to the IT or the university. And I've just had my permit just about a little over a year. So I was in no way qualified to apply. But I said, well, I'll apply anyway. So I just prayed to the Lord. I've been praying with my family every morning and every evening, and I applied. And the CEO gave me my college of choice, first choice, and I applied to them. I went there. They said, there's no problem, just bring your certificate. I did. Then they wrote me, they said I should come for an international day because they realized through my application that I didn't have, I'm not an Irish citizen, so I might be an international student, so I have to pay international fees. I have no means of paying the money, but I went all right. She looked at my papers and said, okay, you pay home fees, but you're not qualified, you know that. I said, well, I know, but I have to apply anyway. He said, okay, I want to help you. I never knew the lady, a white lady. He said, go to the justice and ask them to give you a letter. The first time you came into this country, the first letter they gave you, if you can bring that letter today, right now, today, then I will give you the opportunity to study. I said, how am I going to get this letter? He said, I came here 2007. How am I going to get this letter? He said, just walk to the justice and ask them. I drove right. It was about 2 o'clock. And they're finishing work at 4 o'clock. Just imagine. I just drove there and I inquired. They said, they gave me an envelope and a form to go and fill and write a letter to it. And it would take about 2 months before I'll have that letter. So, my goodness. So I said, don't worry, Lord, I'll pray. I prayed in the car and I called my wife. Could you please go through my bag, my old bag? Some time ago, 2007, I had some papers. Maybe it might be in the back. So she went raced to the storeroom, started moving all the stuff around, and I was speeding back home to see if I could get this letter before they closes. And you know what God did? The first file I took from the back, the letter was right in front of it. I said, Lord, I thank you. So I rushed back, and he said, your God is with you. I said, yes, I know that. So she took the letter. He said, okay, you pay a home fees, which is about 3,000 euros. I told myself, how am I going to pay 3,000 euros? Because the government, the grant scheme wouldn't give me the grant because I'm not qualified. You have to be 3 years and over before you can apply for grant. So I was just scratching my head. I went back to prayer. I kept praying with my wife. I applied to the grant. I didn't hear of them. I've been calling them. They said, we don't talk about specific applications. It's there, we are deciding. And when we finish deciding, we'll let you know. So I even forgot about it. I was just praying, and one day they wrote me a letter. It is 3 stages. You passed through the first stage. So bring all the documents that you said you have. I packed all my documents, even those that they didn't request. I added them all. I pushed everything to them. My file was very, very big. I didn't hear anything from them again. So about 2 weeks before school reopened, I said, this boy didn't call me. And I was there, they sent me an email. You have passed through the second stage. So send us the letter from the school that qualifies you to go to school. Then we can give you the money. So I went, photocopied the letter, then I sent it over. I was praying. We have started school already, but no news. And they say that by the end of October, if you haven't paid your fees, you'll be out. I saw people going out. Some of the Irish citizens, they were going out, the white citizens. Some of the blacks were also going out because they don't have money. The grand people have refused them. So they don't have money to pay 3,000. So they have to stop. We have about 50-something. About 20 of them left. I was just praying to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a disgrace. How can I go back and tell my friends, I started school for only 2 weeks and I'm come back home. Lord, I don't want this to happen to me. Lord, you are God in heaven. Lord, you know where my file is. Lord, touch that file. Let these people, those who are looking at the file, blind their eyes so they won't see my weakness. They'll give me the money that I need. Then they're supposed to give me only 2,200. Then I'll pay the rest. That's what they do normally. You pay the 700 or something. I said, I'll pray, Lord, I'll even go for loan and pay the rest. Just please let me give me this, please. You know what I did? I was at home when my wife called me. Oh, they have answered your letter. Just come. And they said, bring your account. Bring your account number. Tap your account number into the internet. I said, what did my account number for? So when I went home and I read the letter, they have given me 4 grand. You know, 4 grand, you don't pay the extra 700. They give you the pay all the 3,000 and they give you more money into your pocket. I said, Lord, you are wonderful. So I didn't believe it. Then, you know, I went to school, I was just discussing this with my friend, and the guy looked at me and said, look, do you sleep with Jesus on your bed? I said, Jesus is my best friend. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, brother, I want to encourage you. The Lord is good. When you pray and you don't hear from God, keep waiting. It's not your time yet. Just keep believing. Don't just stop praying. Continue praying, and He will answer you. Amen. So by God's grace, I'm a full-time student in DIT. Amen. Shall we sing this song, Leaning on Everlasting Arms? It's true. Though when you lean on His arms, He will never let you down. Amen. What a fellowship. What a joy divine.
What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on Everlasting Arms. What a blessedness. So
desire. Bread and fish upon the fire. That is satisfying the hunger every time.
Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the waters into wine, to the hungry calling out, come and die. Hallelujah. Come and die. The master calling, come and die. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the waters into wine, to the hungry calling, come and dine.
Amen, saints. We do greet you in Jesus' name this evening. Just to say straight away, there were just so many people phoned up today and sent messages that they couldn't make it tonight. Brother Francois was called to college. Brother George, he had to work. Just so many. So I thought, what we'll do, if you don't mind, saints, let's just make this evening a normal service, and maybe we rearrange our special prayer meeting for next Saturday evening, where at least we can arrange it properly. Maybe have a day of consecration before the Lord. I just saw it today, just one by one. And I said, ooh, especially with the topic that I had for this evening, it fitted exactly in with the topic which I wanted to have a look at, just to fellowship once again around the principles of spiritual warfare. Because, saints, we really are dealing with a cunning enemy. And unless we really resist him, you know, unless you recognize the enemy, sometimes we don't see the hand of the enemy in something. You just think it's the way that you're feeling. You're just feeling, thinking, but I just don't feel like going for prayer today or something. But there's a real spiritual dimension to things. And as believers, it's such a good thing to go back just to see what the scriptures have to say, just to remind ourselves once again of the warfare that we're engaged in. And I think maybe just this evening, we just take it as a normal, we just do like a Bible study once again to remind one another of just these simple principles. And then by the grace of God, when the other saints are able to come, my brother Bishop, we need to remember him in prayer. He's been admitted to hospital as well. He went to the doctor today and they just wanted to do some tests on him. So there's a lot of different things going on. So we want to keep those in prayer. So we'll get in the word, have a time of prayer at the end. But I think it's just wise just to rearrange things a little bit, if the saints don't mind. Let's open Joshua chapter 1. Let's have a look from verse 5 to verse 9. Just to remember once again, the Lord speaking to and through Joshua and giving him his commission for Joshua to possess the land which was promised to him, his inheritance. Joshua 1 from verse 5 to 9, it says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." So there was such a blessed encouragement that was given to Joshua that the Lord wasn't going to forsake him. And friends, we are under that commission. The Lord will never forsake us. He'll never fail us. He'll never let us down. But in order for us to possess our inheritance, verse 6, the next thing the Lord said is, "Be strong and of a good courage." So there was a part which we have to play. And friends, we need to be courageous. Whenever the Lord exhorts someone to be courageous, it means there's going to be a need for courage. And the opposite of courage is discouragement. So there's going to be lots of things that are going to come to try to take away your courage. So the Lord was saying, "I'm never going to leave you, Joshua, but you're going to have to be courageous as well. You're going to have to be strong." He says, let's go to verse 7. He says again, Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. So he's saying, in order for you to keep the word which I've delivered to you, you're going to need courage. You're going to need to be strong, because there's going to be many things that are going to come to try to get you to break the terms of this commission, to take you away from the word. Then he continues on, verse 9. He says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for such a commission that you commissioned us under, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Father, thank you that, Father, that scripture is so wonderful that even though we be faithless, you will always be faithful, because you cannot deny yourself. Father, but how we long to have, Father, fulfill our part, that, Lord, you may be glorified, to be strong and very courageous, Lord. Bless your people tonight. I'm thinking of Brother Bishop. I pray your grace upon him, Lord. I pray that your hand would be upon him. I pray that you would minister unto his soul. I pray that you would speak unto him even at this time. I pray that you would draw nigh unto him, be his all in all. Father, the saints that are here and there, Father, Lord, have been caught up in work and, Father, college and different things. I do pray for them, each and every one of them, that you'd watch over them. And, Father, how we long to fellowship, even as our brothers led us in the song worship, to come and dine, Father, to feast at the King's table once again upon this night, that, Lord, we may once again remind ourselves, Father, stir up our minds by the way of a pure remembrance, Lord, as we look unto thee. Bless your people that have gathered, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, saints. Let's have a look at this issue, a little bit of spiritual warfare. Now, let's not forget, you know, I always love this. It was written 100 and something years ago by Spurgeon. I've read it a few times in church. But Spurgeon says, to be a Christian is to be a warrior. Now, he's speaking of a warrior as a soldier, not of a warrior as if somebody who worries a lot. But he says, to be a Christian is to be a warrior. The good soldier of Jesus Christ must not expect to find ease in this world. You know, so when we come to the Lord, friends, don't expect ease. And when you're desiring to possess your inheritance, don't expect it to be easy. It's not going to be easy. The Lord already told us through Joshua, you're going to have to be strong and you're going to have courage. You know, I love the messages the prophet preaches on perseverance, because he preaches so many times the message perseverance. And there's something about it. Because of the opposition that we face up to, we have a need of perseverance. For us to get anywhere in the spiritual life, it's not him that starts, but we need a perseverance. And that's why Spurgeon says, we must not expect to find ease in this world, because it is a battlefield. The Christian's occupation is war. And friends, our occupation on a daily basis is going to be war. From the time that you wake up in the morning to the time that you lay your head down, and even during the night many times, expect war. Expect there to be a spiritual warfare. And especially when you're nearing a blessing. Especially when you're nearing something which the Lord has in store for you. You've got to expect that you're going to have to go through a warfare first of all to possess the gates of the enemy. The prophet preached possessing the gates of the enemy after trial. That's what he preaches it. And that the promise is given us to possess the gates of the enemy. But as Joshua was told, wherever you place your foot, I've given you that land, but you need to go and fight and possess your land. And there's an enemy that's going to resist us. Now, look what the prophet says here in How Can I Overcome? He says, we see this age that we're living in. It's one of the grandest ages of all the ages. This Laodicean church age is the grandest of all the church ages, because it's the ending of time and the blending of eternity. So on the one hand, there's so much promise to the believer in this age. There's such promises to the church. But he says, and then it's the greatest sinful age. It's more sin in this age than it's ever been. And the powers of Satan is many times harder to fight against than it was in any age. And like we say, you just go to the toy store. You just go and see the dimension of things these days. Friends, before in the 1950s, they used to put television on and people would say it was a scandal because a woman came on television wearing pajamas. That was a great scandal. They couldn't believe that. Or somebody, a woman just got into bed, not did anything, but just was seen getting into the same bed as a man. And that was a great scandal in the 1960s. You look at the dimension of things when you turn on anything these days. Whether you go on the internet, whether you go into the shops, you go and see the cartoons that are being made for the children. It's like the prophet says, the powers of Satan is many times harder to fight against in this age than any other age. Therefore, the Lord is going to raise up a standard. And if the enemy is going to try to rise up in your life, the Lord is going to move upon you to raise up a standard as well. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard. And all the church is called to do is to yield and submit to the raised standard. That when the Lord wants to lead in battle against the enemy. Remember Joshua, who he met? He met the captain of the host of the Lord. That's who the Lord said he was. He said, I am the captain of the armies of the Lord. You see, and Joshua went with his sword and he saw this man. He thought he was a warrior, but he was actually the chief captain. And friends, we've got to follow him close in these kind of times because that's the day that we're living in. Now, somebody asked the prophet again in Questions and Answers 1961. He says, is it possible for a Holy Ghost-filled person to be influenced to do minor things that he doesn't want to do? I would have thought that it was just common sense, that question. For someone to say, a Holy Ghost-filled person, is it possible for you to be influenced to do things that you don't want to do? The prophet says, yes, sir. He says, a Holy Ghost-filled person, you're right in the place then to be driven by these things. He says, you just put yourself up as a target. So the moment you start walking spiritually in your life, the moment you start walking, as we said last week, in your commission or your calling, you put yourself up as a target. When you were just there, like the prophet says, he says, when you were just slouching around for the devil, he never paid much attention to you. He says, but once you take a stand for Christ, you've got everything from the other side against you then. He trains every gun right around on you. Now look how he explains it. Every temptation, everything that can be thrown at you, then you've got it. So they're speaking on the one hand that when you make a stand for Christ and you want it to go forward once again, you want it to possess the land once again, you're going to have to expect everything to be pointed against you. But then on the other hand, he says, but what have you got on the other hand? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And that's the blessed thing, because when you start walking with the anointing of God inside of your soul afresh, God has given you all the power that you need to overcome. And if God has given us the message of the hour, he's given us the hidden manna for this age, friends, there's nothing more that a believer needs. You just need spirit and truth in this age, because God has raised up that standard to prevail and overcome against these great powers of Satan in this day. But for us, we were just born in this age. We just find that this is a normal kind of an age to live in. But it's not. If you are to bring somebody from an age gone by and bring them into this age, it was going to be a shock for them to see the conditions of a day like this, the atmospheres of this day, the spiritual condition of this day. But God has prepared a people in every age. And God prepares you and created you to be able to withstand the conditions of this age. But you can't do it on your own because the battle is the Lord's. And you've got to let him go before. So Satan, as we were seeing last week, he wants to get you off the front line. That's what he wants to do. Remember with the prophet, he came and so discouraged the prophet, and the prophet wanted to head up there and go and be like an Old Testament prophet living in Alaska. You see, because the devil saw that he couldn't overcome the gift that was in that man. That gift, that commission, being commissioned by an angel, Satan knew there's nothing I can do to withstand this. The promise was given to the prophet that if you will be sincere and get the people to believe you, nothing will stand before your prayers, not even cancer. But what did the devil do? He knew, I've got to get this man off the front line. Because what good is it to have as powerful a weapon as has ever been seen, spiritually speaking, and then you get yourself separated from the post of duty? That's what the devil's going to try to do. If the Lord sees a calling in your life, if the devil sees potential in your life, he sees you, that there's potential in you, he's going to do everything that he possibly can to get you off the battlefield. If he can't tangle you up in the affairs of this life, friends, he's going to do everything that he can, use all of his guile, use all of his cunning, use every tactic that he's ever used to try to discourage you, because you're going to need courage on the front line. He's going to try to get you to step back and say, let other people do it for a while. Friends, never be like that. Never be like that. This isn't a picnic. This is a battlefield. You know, and for somebody to step back and just say, I'm tired now, let somebody else do it. Friends, don't ever come to that condition. The moment you get to that condition, just go back once again and spend time with the Lord. And you just go and remember what the Lord did for you. That when he faced up to those great battles, Christ and Gethsemane and Calvary and so forth, friends, he went right into the front of the battle, right into the thickest of the battle, the prophet said, for us. So Satan is going to try to do that. He's trying to get you from the post of duty. That's where he wants to get you from. Satan doesn't want you in the line of duty because Christ, the captain of the host of the Lord, Michael, the archangel, he's going to be with you in the post of duty. If you are where you are called to be, all of heaven's going to back you up. All of hell's going to be against you. But in your post of duty, you're not there representing yourself. You're representing the kingdom. And a person in their position is backed up by the kingdom of God. But the enemy, he doesn't want that. He wants to try to move people from that. That's why we need to be careful that you don't listen to the enemy. Friends, the enemy is very convincing in the things that he says. I've heard believers say it so many times, I'm so tired, I don't want to go to church today. You've listened to the enemy. That's listening to the enemy. Because you find those very people, they'll stay at home and be even twice as tired when they're at home. And you'll say, but that didn't make much sense. Or somebody will stay at home and say, I'm not going to go to church because I need to do my studies. And then you go and ask them after service, how many studies did you actually do? And you'll find it was a very unproductive time because God will make sure that it's not productive. Because God's never going to bless you when you're outside of the will of God. God will bless you in the line of duty. And that's why so many times you find it yourself. You come to the house of the Lord defeated, friends. You just feel, I can't go on anymore. And you find how just in the song worship, in the word, whatever it is, in the prayer, whatever, you find the Lord ministers to you. Because God will minister to you in the post of duty. But it's going to need some courage. It's going to need someone to gird up their loins and say, I'm not going to give in to this condition. Because listen what the prophet says here. He's speaking about the oppression of the devil. Now the devil works in oppression. He likes to oppress people. He likes to bring depression, oppression, to press you down, to weigh you down, to confuse you in your mind, to try to put you in a condition that you don't have a clarity in the things that you're doing. The prophet says, it's in the handwriting on the wall, 1956, he has an altar call. And only one person comes to the altar and he says, I feel constrained in my heart. There's many people here tonight that really wants to come right here, but the oppression of the devil is holding you right back. You see the warfare that was taking place. The Spirit of Christ was trying to persuade the people, come, yield yourself, surrender yourself, come and give yourself to Christ. And now there's going to be the opposing force on the other side that's going to come down and oppress you. And you're going to feel, but hey, there's something heavy. There's a heaviness in the way that things are going. And it's up to us. Then he goes on to say, won't you cut loose like this lady? One lady who had come to the altar. So the prophet's saying, you need to take out your sword at a time like that and start to cut against the enemy. Don't give in to the conditions that the enemy would desire to put you into. Don't ever give in to the oppression of the devil. If you wake up in the morning and you're feeling oppressed, the best thing, put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And the spirit of heaviness will flee away. But you will feel, I'm just feeling so discouraged today. And you know what people do then? They don't read the word. They don't listen to the messages. They don't put on Christian music. They don't even go and offer a small 1 minute prayer to the Lord. And they wonder why they don't overcome that oppression of the enemy. But friends, the best thing to do when the enemy comes in with an oppression is just to recognize that it's a battlefield and that you've got to resist that enemy and do exactly the opposite of what he's telling you to do. Now, I like it with Samson when he said, when he was there in Dagon's temple and he prayed to the Lord and he said, Lord, avenge me of mine eyes. The best thing to do if the devil has been getting you down is take vengeance on him. You go and do twice as much as you used to do. When the devil oppresses you, the prophet says the best way to overcome something is to do the opposite. That's the best thing to do. If you know that, hey, I'm just really letting the Lord down these days. I'm not spending time at all in prayer. the best thing, get up tomorrow in the morning and call upon the name of the Lord. Don't listen to your feelings. Don't listen to the oppression of the devil. Because the more that you yield to a spirit, the more authority it gets inside of your life. The more power it gets inside of your life. So if you're going to yield to the oppression of the devil, and the devil's going to come to you on a Wednesday or Friday or whatever and tell you, oh, I'm too tired. I don't really want to go to the house of the Lord. I don't feel like going to visit somebody. Or I don't want to read my Bible today. I'd rather go and look on Google or something. Friends, be very careful, because each time that you yield yourself to that spirit, it becomes more difficult to rise up the next time. That's why as soon as you discern the works of the enemy, as soon as you start to see the enemy starting to get some ground over me here in the battle, the best thing to do is to gird up your loins once again, to polish up the whole armor of God and to go into war against that spirit. If you find that spirit's trying to lead you down the way of worldly entertainment, the best thing that you can do to overcome the enemy is to starve that enemy. If you find I'm spending too much time on the internet these days, the best thing to do is to spend a time of fasting from that. Just say, for these days that lay ahead, I'm not having anything to do with this. I want the influence that has got into me to die. I want to be purged of this influence. There's something that is pulling me down and weighing me down and is polluting my Christian experience. I want to be purged of this. And you don't get purged of it by continuing to fellowship with it. You've got to declare war on some of these things once in a while to say, no, 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 no. I'm not going to read these magazines anymore. Tomorrow it's the word and it's the message. And I'm just going to soak myself in the message for these days to come until that influence that has come and has taken me down from where I used to be, until I'm purged from that influence once again. But you're going to have to be strong, because the moment you start, like our pastor used to say at home, the moment that you determine that I'm going to fast tomorrow, be guaranteed you're going to wake up with a headache, or you're going to wake up with a sore stomach, or there's going to be trouble with the children in the home overnight or something. It's just the way that the devil works. And that's why Joshua was told to be strong and very courageous to be able to prevail against the enemy in his day. And the same with us. And that's why that word perseverance is so important. Persistence, determination, that you determined, I want to get to a certain place. Because there's always going to be an opposition that comes. Remember that Syrophoenician woman when she wanted to come to Jesus. And she says, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. She had a desperate need. And look at all the obstacles that came. The Bible says Jesus answered her not a word. Because she was saying son of David, but she was a Gentile. And then she came and she was crying out to the Lord. And what happened? The disciple says, Lord, send this woman away. She's troubling us. You see the obstacles. Then finally she comes to the Lord and says, Lord. And Jesus said, it's not right to give the children's bread to the dogs. Hey, there were so many things to stand in the way. And each of those was a test to see if she was really determined to get something from the Lord. And the Lord does it to us all the time, friends. Sometimes he delays the blessing. Sometimes he delays the answer. Sometimes he puts it all further than we expected it to be, because he's wanting to see how determined, how precious to us is the answer to that prayer that we're praying. How much do we really, really want what we're seeking? How much do we really want the kingdom? And that's when he allows the enemy many times to rise up. And the enemy comes in with his oppression. There's got to be a determination in the souls of the sons and daughters of God to say, no more. I'm not going to walk with this gloomy spirit around me anymore. I'm not going to walk with this kind of an atmosphere around me anymore. But I want to declare war against this enemy. I want to be avenged of the Philistines. This time that's been wasted in my life, I just want to make up for this lost time. And that's a real good thing to do. Because that'll make the devil think twice next time he tries to come and do the same thing to you. Because when he sees that he comes and pokes you and pushes you down, that you get up with twice as much zeal as before each time you get up, he's going to start thinking it's not such a good idea to push this guy down. Maybe I need to start looking for some other kind of a way to take this person from the post of duty. So the prophet says it's the oppression of the devil. Friends, and it's something you have to fight against. In this age that we're living in, you have to fight against that oppression. When you find that even the word, you find when the word is not interesting to you, you need to fight against that oppression of the devil. You need to fight. Then he goes on to say, he says, this lady here, he says, one thing only that she did, the one who came to the altar, she surrendered one little will. That was her will. And God took his will and brought her right up here. And right now she has eternal life. It's because she's come to confess him. Won't you come? So the Lord's going to deal with us, but we've got to submit our will to him. And then his great will starts to come and move us to the position that we're supposed to be once again. Because friends, we can't overcome these things in our own strength. Listen what he says in possessing the enemy's gates. He's praying and he says, Father, he says, oh Lord, give to them, these people, Lord, the desires of their hearts. Because thy children are struggling in these days. The oppression of the enemy is so strong. Then he says, but thou art stronger. You see, that's where the key always comes in, friends. The oppression of the enemy is very strong. And you can't overcome it in your own strength. Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. But you overcome it because he is stronger. So we've got to get ourselves to him. And that's how the devil, the prophet speaking of revivals, he says, when you get to a place for the first time, he says, there's always an oppression, like a demon power, that you have to break through before the revival ever comes. You see, there's something that you've got to break through if you're trying to get some spiritual blessing once again. There's going to be an oppression. Because the moment that you rise up and say, I want to get back to my first love. I want to get back to what I used to be, spiritually speaking. Friends, the devil's just going to do his job. And there's going to come an opposition that's going to rise up against you as sure as the world. And you're going to have to break through that host of the Philistines to get down once again to the well of Bethlehem to drink of the waters of Bethlehem. You're going to have to fight your way through. But the Lord has given us great promises about those things. Look at some of the scriptures, friends. Let's not forget the principles of God's word. The enemy, Matthew 13, Jesus says, the enemy is the devil. Let's never forget that. I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. The enemy is the devil. If we're fighting against anybody else except for the devil, we're fighting against the wrong thing at this time. The devil's got our guns pointed in the wrong direction. We've got to get our guns focused once again on the enemy. And the enemy, your enemy and my enemy, is the devil. That's the only enemy we have. No one else is your enemy. The devil is your enemy. That's what Jesus says. And look at what Jesus said about the devil. The thief. The devil is a thief. He comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's what he wants to do. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your victory. He wants to steal your inheritance. He wants to steal time from you that you could have redeemed and it could have been storing up treasures in heaven. He's a thief and he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his job. That's his job. Romans 12 tells us, Paul, be not overcome of evil. You're going to be influenced by evil. It's going to rise up on a daily basis to face you. Temptation, evil, oppression, depression, confusion, disappointment, discouragement. But don't allow that to overcome you. And how do you overcome it? But overcome evil with good. You go and do the opposite. When people are gossiping against you, you know what you do? Go and be good to them. Go and say good things about them. When somebody doesn't even want to fellowship with you anymore, Brother Beckett's the master at that. Send them a card. Buy them a present. Don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Do the opposite. What the devil's trying to push you to do. If the devil wants you to take revenge against somebody, rather take revenge against the devil. That's the best thing to do. Keep your guns. Let's not forget the battle is the Lord's. That's what David said. The battle in the end, friends, this battle started long before you and I were here. It started in heavenly places when Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels. And then the prophet says, and Lucifer was cast out. And then from being battles in the heavenly, it fell down upon the human race. And it came down in Eden and the battle started raging fierce in Eden. And then man fell. But friends, the battle is the Lord's. Satan's going to tell you that's not the case. But that's what the word says. It doesn't matter what my mind says about my current condition. Doesn't matter how I feel about my current condition. The truth is the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Your enemy is the devil and the battle is the Lord's. That's what the word says. And 2 Timothy tells us, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So you've got to give Jesus once again a chance to manifest in your life by feeding on his word, confessing your sins, coming back to him, praying, keeping yourself in his presence, making sure the atmosphere is right. Give the Lord an opportunity once again inside of your life to manifest himself. And every time Jesus manifests himself, it's to destroy the works of the devil. So whatever work of the devil that you've got inside of your life, whatever spiritual power that you've been fellowshipping with that you shouldn't have been fellowshipping with, whatever communion you've come into with darkness, you're not going to overcome that just by your sincerity. You're going to have to allow a greater power access once again, because the battle is the Lord's. You're going to have to feed on his word. You're going to have to wait upon him in his presence. Maybe like the prophet says about David in Message of Grace, when David had sinned against God, had allowed that spirit of adultery to come in, he had fellowshipped and communed and become one with that spirit. The prophet says he had to be purged of that weakness. He had to be purged. And he says sometimes we need to fast, we need to weep, we need to confess, we need to pray. God will forgive you straight away. But in order for the influence of that spirit to die inside of your life, you many times have to go through a purging time. When you go and say, Lord, I'm so sorry for the things I've been watching on the computer, God forgives you immediately. But that spirit that you've been fellowshipping with secretly in your house there is still upon you. And that spirit's not going to go easily, friends. He's not just going to go easily because you're telling him, hey, Satan, get out of my life. No, you're going to have to wait upon the Lord. You're going to have to lay yourself in the presence of the Lord. You're going to have to confess your sins. And you're going to have to regret the things that you've done. You're going to have to disassociate yourself with that spirit. And then after a season of purging, that spirit's going to go. And you're going to be back in your old condition once again. But friends, it's not enough just to confess your sins. The Bible says, he who confesses and forsakes his sins shall obtain mercy. You've got to confess it with all your heart. Then stay away from the influence of that thing. And let that influence die once again inside of your life. That enemy that's put you in captivity, friends, you've got to die to any fellowship and association with that enemy. But sometimes he's going to hold on, friends. Sometimes he's going to try to stay there. And you're going to have to rise up in prayer. Feed your soul upon the promises of God. Create an atmosphere around you. Get into fellowship with the saints. Do whatever it takes, spiritually speaking, to obtain the strength spiritually and the power once again, that you might be able to break ties with that enemy. Many believers, you see it on a Sunday, they make their things right. Monday, Tuesday, they're back in fellowship with the same devils once again. They give access to those same spirits once again. And friends, to worship the Lord, an act of worship. Worship is when you yield, when you submit yourself to something. Now, if you go and submit yourself to pornography, you submit yourself to the music of the world or the fashions of the world, and you allow that spirit to come in and you yield to that spirit, that is an act of worship. You are worshiping that thing. That's what the scripture says. And friends, we need to renounce those idols many times. Like in the Old Testament, they'd take them in the days of Josiah and the kings of Israel. And they'd break down the altars to Baal. And they would cut down the groves to Ashtaroth. And they would do all of those things and cast those idols into the brook Kidron. You've got to do that spiritually speaking inside of your life. Those influences that have put you in captivity, those influences that have put you in the current condition that you are, you've got to resist those things. You've got to have a determination to say, I'm not going to walk with these things anymore. But the devil will still come and try to play in your mind. He'll still come and try to influence you once again. Because the Bible says sin is pleasant. The pleasures of sin, the Bible speaks about. It says stolen waters are sweet. There's something sweet about sin when you're involved in it. But sin leads you into captivity and to prevail and to overcome, friends. You've got to be strong and you've got to be courageous. You've got to be determined to say, I don't want this condition anymore. I want to prevail and I want to overcome over this. And you've got to give the Son of God opportunity to manifest inside of your life. Because for this was the Son of God manifest, that he may destroy the works of the devil. And if you give him opportunity and access to to your soul and you allow His Spirit to start to work once again inside of your life and you feed upon the Word and you get washed in the waters of the Word and you lay yourself before the Lord in prayer. It doesn't take long, friends, for the Lord, that manifestation of God, the manifestation of the anointing of Christ inside of your life once again to destroy those works that Satan was doing inside of your life. But friends, many times we're not determined enough. We give up too quickly. We determined on a Sunday, then on a Monday morning again, we say, I'll start again next week. And you're back and we're doing the same things once again. Friends, I don't think in this late hour you want to play too much with the devil. The prophet says that wolf just wants one opportunity to get that lamb away from the shepherd. That's all it wants, is one opportunity. And friends, in an age like this, don't give the devil that opportunity. But stay as close as you can to the shepherd. Look what Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock here, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell will come against you, friends. Will come against our church, will come against each and every one of us. But the Lord has given us a promise that if we just are with Him, if we are walking with Him, the gates of hell shall not prevail. He won't prevail. He'll never conquer and overcome the church of the living God. Now, it's different if we want to go out there and fellowship with Him on His grounds and He keeps knocking us down. Like Brother George Quinn says, you give the devil a stick, he's going to keep beating with that stick. You give the devil opportunity inside of your life, friends, he's going to beat you as far as he can. But if you stay in the line of duty, stay in the land that Christ has possessed for us, friends, I do believe the devil, the gates of hell. Now, let's remember the gates of hell. What was it in the gates? In the city gates was where the mighty men would gather, make their strategies and speak about the great affairs of the kingdom. That's where they would meet, in the gates. And Satan, with all of his wiles and his strategies, those gates of the enemy, friends, that he's plotting and hatching in the age that we're living, they're not going to prevail against the church that is built upon the rock. The church that is walking by revelation, that is walking with Christ, they'll never prevail. Now look what Paul says to Timothy. I have fought a good fight. That's a wonderful testimony, friends. I fought a good fight. Paul, what was your life like? It was a battlefield. Paul, you've come to the end. What was it? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And then what does he say to Timothy? Fight the good fight of faith. He says, Timothy, I fought the good fight. Now I'm handing the sword over to you. Now you fight the good fight of faith. Can you see what it is? It's the good fight of faith. The things of revelation. The things of a spiritual kingdom. It's a fight. It's fighting the good fight of faith. That's why we've got to gird up our loins and put on the whole armor of God. And he says again to Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to go through some things that are hard. You're going to have to choose the narrow way. You're going to have to do down what your flesh is telling you to do many times. You're going to have to not choose to go the broad way, the way of least resistance. But you've got to choose to go Christ's way, to follow Him. And that's what he was told him. You're going to have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What about in Hebrews 11? It says, these great people of the faith who through faith subdued kingdoms. Friends, through faith, through revelation, they put kingdoms under their feet. And when the kingdom of the devil comes against you and I, friends, we need to rise up in faith because we need to subdue these kingdoms. We don't need to be overcome of the devil. You do not need to be overcome of evil. But the Bible says, but overcome evil with good. Subdue kingdoms. What kingdom of the devil is against you at the moment? Is it a devil of sickness? Is it a devil of doubt? A devil of discouragement? Whatever it is, a devil of uncleanness, whatever, devil of wickedness, devil of unforgiveness, devil of hatred and anger. Friends, by faith, we need to subdue those kingdoms. We need to be feeding upon the Word of God. We need to be spending time in the presence of God. We need revelation to quicken us. Because the prophet says the revelation gives you prevailing power. He says, revelation will give you what it takes to overcome the enemy. Because you've got to receive fresh battle orders many times from the Lord to show you how to face up to the current condition that you're going through. Now, James gets to the point. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. So before he starts speaking about the devil, he speaks about God. The first thing, submit yourself to God. What is the Lord speaking to you inside of your life? What is God trying to lead you to? What is he trying to lead you back to? Yield yourself. Submit. Let it be an act of will. And then what else do you need to do? Resist the devil. You and I don't need to overcome the devil. The prophet says the devil was overcome at Calvary. Amen. The Bible says that he was stripped of his power. That, friends, he's going to come and he's going to resist you. So you're going to need to resist him. Amen. He's going to come with his oppression, but you need to resist the devil. What is resistance? When there's resistance, there's power coming from both sides. There's something pressing against you, but you're going to press back against that thing. And the Bible says when you start pressing back against the devil, instead of continually yielding and giving in to him, you now rise up, be strong and very courageous, and you start resisting that enemy, he's going to flee from you. That's a wonderful promise, and you know it inside of your life. When you start rising up, like the prophet says, you need to break through the power of the devil. And you'll start consecrating yourself, and it'll seem you're getting nowhere for a season of time. It'll seem to be hard, but there comes a certain point that you break through. You break the sound barrier, and all of a sudden you're in a place, the prophet says, where you have 15 miles of elbow room. You have plenty of room, like in a spiritual liberty once again. But we've got to resist the devil, because he'll flee from us. Then in Ephesians 6, what does Paul tell us? Peter. Be sober. Be vigilant. Listen to these words, friends. Be sober. Hey, let your mind be clear. Don't get it clogged up with the affairs of Laodicea. That's not being sober. Let's not be caught up with the drunkenness of this life, Jesus told us. The affairs of this life. But be sober. Be vigilant. That means to be very watchful. When you start seeing, but no. I know when I start dreaming these kind of dreams and I get myself in trouble down the way, amen, that's being vigilant. Let me rise up now. Amen. When I see the enemy coming on the horizon, when I see the enemy coming far off, when I see the first symptoms and signs of his work inside of my life once again, let me be vigilant. Amen. Let me be sober. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And friends, you and I know many that have been devoured. Many that have been devoured because of diverse things. And I'm sure you don't want to, in this life, be found having that testimony that for a season you walked well and then you were devoured by the enemy. But he goes on to say, whom, which the enemy, the roaring lion, resist steadfast in the faith. When that revelation of the word is there, you feed upon that revelation until it becomes real to you. Then you stand steadfastly upon that revelation. In that faith, in that divine communication that God has given to you, in those fresh battle orders that is revealed to you from heaven to show you how to overcome the condition that you're in, you need to resist the devil steadfast. That doesn't mean just to resist him for 5 minutes. That means if he's still attacking you tomorrow, you need to be resisting him tomorrow. If he's still attacking you Wednesday, you push on and you attack him on Wednesday. You come to the house of the Lord. You be faithful in what you can do. You do what you can do. And then he does the things that we can't do. Because the battle is the Lord's. But the Lord wants us to play our part. You need to be strong and very courageous. You need to resist the devil. To resist your enemy. Being steadfast in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Friends, nothing that you're going through is unique. We all go through the same things. Nothing that you're facing up to hasn't been faced up to before. And there's people in places now facing up to far worse than you and I. But friends, let's resist the devil steadfast in the faith. Now let me read what the prophet says. The prophet says here on questions and answers in church order. Listen how he says it. Listen, speaking about spiritual warfare, let's just think of some of these tactics of the devil. This is page 872, paragraph 872, church order. He says, remember, God is looking to me to see that I stay in the word. So it was the prophet. He had to stay in the word, the commission that he was given. And I'm looking to you. So that's us as the message believers. To see that you carry out the word. You see? He says, in this church, but keep it spiritual. Why? Because the enemy is spiritual. The battle is spiritual. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. It's a spiritual warfare that you're waging. And friends, the moment we stop being spiritual here, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. The moment you stop being spiritual in your life, you're already overcome of the devil. Because the warfare, the armor, is a spiritual armor. The warfare we're fighting against is a spiritual warfare. So the prophet says, keep the word, stay in the word, and keep it spiritual. He says, because remember, all the forces of the dark kingdom of Satan will be turned against you as you begin to grow in the Lord. So once you start making progress, once you start getting somewhere once again in the kingdom, all the forces of the enemy are going to come against you. But friends, he uses guerrilla tactics. He's a dirty fighter. He uses proxy warfare. He doesn't fight sometimes directly against you. He anoints someone to fight against you. He anoints your boss. He anoints somebody else. Your neighbor, a brother, a sister. It can happen many times. And then you'll find out that, that wasn't that person. That was the devil. As it was in the time of Job. He anointed Job's wife. He anointed the brothers from the church. And all the spiritual warfare which had been plotted when Lucifer, when Satan came before the Lord and the Lord was boasting about against Job, all of those devices and cunning strategies that the devil had in his mind to take Job as far as he possibly could down the line of this attack that he was planning, look at the tactics that he used. Yes, he tried destroying his children, destroying his wealth, touching him in his body. But our friends, the tough one was when he got into the brothers in the church. And the tough one was when he got into his wife. Because that was an unexpected source. He didn't expect the warfare to come from this side. But remember, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The devil knew she's not my enemy. That's why he says, you speak like a foolish woman. He says, it's not a foolish woman. And he knew, these brethren are not my enemies. In the end, Job prayed for them and the Lord healed them at the end of the book of Job. Because it's the spiritual powers and principalities that influence and use people. That's the enemy that you got to keep. That's why I showed that first slide. Your enemy is the devil. And we need to keep that paramount. Your enemy is the devil. And secondly, the battle is the Lord's. That's why we've got to keep it spiritual. He will fight every battle for us if we'll keep it spiritual. But the moment we start getting carnal and get caught up in other things, we're going to have trouble in the warfare. Now listen to what he says. He says, Satan, all the forces of the dark kingdom of Satan will be turned against you as you begin to grow in the Lord. And you must be soldiers, not just fresh recruits. I'm glad there's many soldiers here today. People that have been long in the battle. People who know the wiles of the enemy. People that are not quickly pushed here and there. People who know the enemy. He says, you aged soldiers now, and you've been trained to fight. Hey, is that not great? We've been trained to fight, friends. Don't let the devil tell you that you haven't. You are more than a match for the devil. I remember once Brother Ron Spencer preaching about Joshua's burden, and he said that he says, one man with God was a majority in every age. Amen. One man with God. One person in their commission. One person faithful in their calling. One person standing steadfast. Friends, the devil's in trouble. In the days of Samson, just one man, Samson. In the days of Moses, one man in the hands of God. Look what God did with one man in this age. When there was a man that fully yielded himself into the hands of God, look at the damage that was done to the kingdom of the devil. And that's why the devil tried other tricks now to try to get that man off the battlefield. And he's going to do exactly the same to us. Now listen to the prophet's warning. He says, and Satan will come among you. We know this from church order. Satan will come among you, cause you to dispute with one another if he can. Can you see what we've done? Friends, once we fight with each other, the devil just stands back because he's already got us defeated. The first light, your enemy is the devil. Amen. If you're disputing with anybody else, if you're fighting against anybody else, you've forgotten who your enemy is. And once you take your eyes off the enemy, be careful. He's going to come from an unexpected side. You've got to be vigilant, be sober. Realize that, let me be careful these days, because the devil is like a roaring lion. He says, Satan will come among you, cause you to dispute with one another if he can. Turn him down immediately. Don't listen to him. When something comes like that, I don't want anything to do with this. This is going to spoil my testimony. This is going to spoil my walk with Christ. This is going to take me away from the place of victory. And this is going to bring me back down into the ditch that I used to be if I'm going to play around in this kind of a thing once again. The prophet says, your brethren, it's the enemy. And we are here, what for? To hold a standard in this evening light time. That when the world is darkened and the whole church kingdom is going into the council of churches, pretty soon they'll try to tack a sign on the door here saying closed. And we're going to have to meet in other places because they'll certainly close these churches one of these days if we don't take the mark of the beast. Look at the enemy, friends, that we're fighting against. Look at the strategy that the devil is bringing right on our doorstep as we speak. Is it not wise, friends, for us to focus on the enemy and fulfill the commission and say, Lord, why did you bring us here? Have we done what we're supposed to do? Instead of turning our guns on one another, instead of disputing with one another, we should all turn our guns against that common enemy, friends, and say, hey, we were called here to raise the banner of the standard of evening light truth. That's what we're called to do. That is our commission. And let's stay in our commission. Let's not let the devil move us from our commission. Let's not let the devil take us from the line of duty that Christ called us to. Let's focus once again and get ourselves behind the chief captain. Once again, under a raised standard of truth that is raised in this age. The prophet says, because certainly they'll close this church one of these days. And we are depending on staying true to God until death sets us free. And that's what we intend to do. We want to stay on course. The devil's going to try to get us off course, friends. He's going to try to get you off course. He's going to try to get you caught up and tangled in the wilderness. He's going to try to get you cut off from your water supply. He's trying to get you out of harmony with the rest of the believers, out of harmony with our Moses for this generation, the prophet, out of harmony with God, like we saw last week on Sunday. Turn him down immediately. Be purged of that influence. Don't allow that influence to be so real inside of your life that it starts to affect your attitude, starts to affect the way that you, who you fellowship with and who you don't fellowship with. Friends, that's giving room to the enemy. But we need to resist the devil because that's the oppression of the devil. That's how he works. Now, the prophet speaks about Brother Blair. I've read this once before, but we'll take it from another line. Brother Blair was a Pentecostal boy that used to come along to the meetings. And the devil, friends, sometimes he knows what's coming. And he knew Brother Blair was going to get an opportunity to strike Brother Blair with sickness down the way, sickness unto death. And the devil came down and he started to anoint Brother Blair. And he started to say, the devil said to Brother Blair, William Branham's a false prophet. William Branham's a false prophet. And by the grace of God, the prophet in discernment in one of the meetings picked it up and called him out and said, Brother Blair, that's the devil talking to you. Don't listen to that. And then Brother Branham spoke to Brother Blair. And just a short time later, Brother Blair got struck with sickness unto death. And the prophet says, and he that is in you, he says, the man was all swelled up in his side, high fever, dying. That same man that was called out, Hot Springs meeting, Brother Blair, the Holy Spirit called that young fellow and told him that the devil was trying to get him to renounce me. Friends, the devil wants us to lose confidence in the word. That's what he wants. The devil wants us to lose confidence in the message of the hour. Why do you think there's all this nonsense going around at the moment? It's the devil. It's the same devil that wanted to destroy Brother Blair. It's the same devil who wants to destroy you and I. But he's got to separate us from our spiritual armor, the message of the hour. He's got to move us from the faith. Because if we resist him steadfast in the faith, we're going to overcome. So he came to Brother Blair and he said, that man's a false prophet. And by the grace of God, God called him out. And Brother says, in the meeting, the man witnessed that that was the truth. You see, he confessed it. You see what the devil was doing? The man doesn't go to doctors. But Satan knew that this disease was going to strike him. And he could kill him right there. So he was trying to get him to renounce me. And the Holy Spirit in grace called him out, the man being a stranger. Called him out and told him, don't do that. And friends, let's never lose confidence in this message. Let's never lose confidence in our gathering together here. Friends, this is the place. This must be an oasis. We need to keep this place spiritual. Let's get rid of the things that are not spiritual from here. Because maybe the devil's going to strike your child. Maybe the devil's going to strike you, strike your wife, strike somebody that you love. It's not wonderful at a time like that where these people have got the spiritual armor on. That there's people that can come and can prevail before the Lord. But the prophet says we've got to keep it spiritual because the devil is going to come down among you and try to cause you to dispute with one another. Turn him down immediately. Have nothing to do with that. Keep focused on the enemy. Be sober. Be vigilant. Put on the whole armor of God. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Satan was trying to do that. Now, the prophet, he says, listen, he's speaking in God as a provided way. He says, this is the last night of the service. They were having the last night of this campaign. And he says, I want every one of you to give me your undivided attention and listen close now. We're trying to go in for the greatest victory in this meeting. You see, things had built up to a climax. God was establishing his kingdom, preaching faith to his people. People's faith was rising. The devil was establishing his kingdom, trying to bring criticism, trying to bring doubt. There'd been a great warfare. But things had been building up to a climax in this campaign. The prophet says, this is the last night. And usually there's more people healed on the last night than in the rest of the meetings under this great anticipation. Satan fights harder. Everything goes wrong seemingly. Because Satan is trying to keep the people in tension and everything else. So that he can keep them away from the great time that we're now entering into. For the great, as we'd say, going in for the kill now. You see, the devil can sense it, friends, when you and I are getting somewhere. When we've got some spiritual momentum, when we're about to break through something. He's going to try to bring as many distractions as he can. He's going to try to make everything go wrong around us. Like the prophet says, everything goes wrong seemingly at a time like that. And if you're not sober, if you're not persistent, if you're not determined, it's very easy for us to be sidetracked and not go in for the kill and possess that which belongs to us. And the devil knows how to do these things. He says now, Satan has already been beaten up in the corner. That's what Jesus did to him, yeah? He's been exposed. And all of his devices is exposed. And men and women have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. People with cancer and tumors, everything else has been healed. Doctor statements proving that it's the truth. Now here's the group of people sitting here tonight, waiting under great anticipation. And Satan, if he can interrupt your mind, that's all he has to do. If he can come and interrupt your mind and get it, but no, this. But last time this. Ah, but this. Friends, this is the greatest battle ever fought. This is the battleground. That's why you got to keep feeding your soul in the word. You got to keep feeding your soul in the presence of God. But the devil comes and fights you here. And says, but what about that? What about what happened there? What about that happened there? You see? And when the Lord's trying to build your faith to a climax, to bring you to a place, the devil's already defeated, trying to get you to the place to recognize this is a defeated enemy. I can go in for the kill now. I can possess this land now. Satan, friends, he never stops those strategies. He never does. He plays around in the minds of the people. He always does it. That's why you need to cast down reasoning, the Bible says. And anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Jesus Christ, cast it down. Have nothing to do with it because he's going to do that. He says, but let's go in for the kill now. The great kill to drive Satan and all of his powers plumb out of this building. But friends, that needs a unity. That needs people in one place, in one accord. That needs people who have come with a singleness of heart and a singleness of purpose. That they wanted to engage themselves once again in the correct spiritual warfare. That people have come once again, they've polished up the armor, they've put on the whole armor of God, and we come in together to say, okay, let's unite ourselves together, and let's drive all the powers of the devil plumb out of this building. But the prophet, I was reading a message the other day, the prophet was trying to pray for people, and he says, there's so much spiritual interference coming. He says, people were moving around, and this and that was taking place. You know, and people came with doubt, and people were saying, but the prophet, he's hypnotizing people, and this is telepathy and stuff. And the prophet says, when there's those kind of things, it brings a spiritual interference. Instead of there being a unity of purpose where people are heading towards one goal, there's people being pulled in all kinds of directions. And I would say to do us good sense, to unite ourselves together around a common cause, a common faith, because that's where our power comes in. Now, just to close off, the prophet speaks in taking sides with Jesus. Look at the different things that were taking place. He says, he's speaking to Brother Neville. He says, now, I just wanted you to know Brother Neville. Brother Neville had been involved in a car accident and almost killed a woman. Then he said, and Brother Neville was very weighed down by the issue. It played so much on his mind. And he says, I just wanted you to know, Brother Neville, that you're only participating in this fellowship in that. Have you just noticed what Satan's tried to do in the last few days to what ministers is associated in this fellowship? Just stop for a few minutes and wonder. Here's Brother Craig sitting here tonight, almost killed up there on the road. I almost had my head blown off of the shotgun. Remember, it blew up in the prophet's hand at the same time. You see, Satan trying to take us. And there you, Brother Neville, crashed right in and could have killed yourself and some woman also. You see, just the ministers. Look at just the ministering group. It's Satan. And he's trying to get rid of us. Friends, it's Satan. He tries to frustrate. He tries to get in the way. He tries to distract. Tries to do this. Let's not be ignorant of his devices. Many times we look at things and we think, ah, that just happened. It doesn't just happen. There's a spiritual warfare. When something goes wrong with your car, it doesn't just happen. It's the devil, friends. It's the devil. And you've got to recognize. And friends, if the devil does something, take revenge on him, like I said. When he delays you on something or hinders you in something, be determined to say, that's okay. When I get my car back on the road, twice as much I'm going to do for the kingdom of God. That's the best attitude to have when the devil does something to you. He says, now we realize we're not assembled here to talk on some kind of a business. We're here to assemble to talk about Christ and the hold that we need to take a hold of. And what we need to do in this present time. And I want to encourage you, Brother Neville, be courageous. No matter what comes up, what goes, what takes place, don't let anything beset you. Don't let anything hold you back. Just stand there like the Rock of Ages, and God will make everything come out just right. Why? Because the battle is the Lord's. You know, today I was listening to that message, stand still and see the salvation of God. And then the Lord brings up the topic as well with Moses, when Moses was crying and saying, but Lord, oh, why this, why that? And the Lord said, hey, why cry? Speak and go for it. And I said, that's such a good principle, that stop complaining. Stop saying, why is this? What doesn't matter about why this and that. Why cry? Speak and go forward. Just keep going forward. And the prophet says, the church of God doesn't know retreat. God doesn't have retreat in his vocabulary. He says, just go forward. Just keep going. You may not understand what you're going through, but just speak and go forward. Just keep going forward. You just be faithful to the Lord, because the battle is the Lord's. And the Lord, in due season, there may be some resistance for a season, but in due season, you're going to come out the other side by the grace of God, because the battle is the Lord. He makes everything else. The prophet says, you see, it's just Satan fighting at the church. And friends, he's never stopped that game. And don't ever think he's gone on vacation or that he's taking a sleep somewhere. He's busy. But the good thing about it is, great is he that is in us than he that is in the world. It's great is he that is in us. Let's finish with Daniel chapter 10. Let's just remember this spiritual warfare that Daniel had as well when he was praying for 21 days, seeking the answer from the kingdom of God. And it seemed like the answer wasn't going to come. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. This is when Gabriel came to him eventually after 21 days. You can read about the 21 days in verse 2. It says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Verse 3, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Can you see the determination the man had? The man was determined, I'm going to seek God until. I'm not going to seek him just for 2 days and then give up. But the man says, I need an answer from God. I don't understand what these things mean. I'm going to not eat pleasant food. I'm going to separate myself. I'm going to go down by the river Hiddekel, I think it was called. And he went and separated himself, an 80-something-year-old man. He went and separated himself, and he was going down there every single day. Maybe when the business of the palace was finished, whatever he had to do in his normal course of events, I don't know what he was doing in that day. But it didn't say he didn't eat anything. He said, I ate no pleasant food. And he went and he put himself in a position of humbling himself before the Lord. But he had to be steadfast. Because after one day, 2 days, after a week, the answer still hadn't come. After 2 weeks, the answer still hadn't come. After 21 days, finally the answer came through. And here came Gabriel. And Gabriel said to him in verse 12, there, let's read from verse 11. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Friends, we pray sometimes and the answer doesn't come immediately. We think God doesn't love me. Hey, Daniel, 21 days. A man like it seeking revelation, spiritual understanding, being a prophet. The answer didn't come. He continued praying. When the angel came and says, Daniel, you're a greatly beloved man. You're a greatly beloved man. A man greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten yourself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I'm come for thy words. Can you see, when you set your heart right, God hears straight away. God starts moving things straight away. But sometimes it takes things to bring the things to the place that you can break through. You may pray like Brother Mike. You may pray for your papers. You may pray for whatever that it is. Friends, when you pray sincerely before God, from that time, God starts to do something about it. But sometimes it takes time. Sometimes there's things he's got to move from here to there and move the right person into the right place and put a person who's going to have sympathy over your case or whatever that it is. God knows what he's doing. But we'll be thinking, but God's not answering me. Friends. But if you could see what was taking place in there. Because God already was answering the man from the time that he first set himself to seek the Lord his God. Fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I'm come for your words. Where was the problem? Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Hey. That same one that there with Ahmadinejad now. The prince of Persia. That same devil that's threatening Israel now, friends. It's the same prince of Persia that's withstanding the seed of Abraham, the natural seed even up to this day. Fierce power that one is. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, the 3 weeks of Daniel's prayer. Friends, there was a serious spiritual resistance. Maybe Gabriel was trying to move the affairs of the kingdom because Daniel was praying also about certain things to take place. Maybe Gabriel was trying to move things and then the devil, the prince of Persia, was coming to the counselors of the king and frustrating the purposes and delaying whatever it was that needed to be done. That can happen, friends. That's the way spiritual warfare works. And then God had to raise up again until finally after 21 days, he says, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, actually that's a wrong translation, it's the chief prince if you go and read, came to help me and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So here came Michael, now the archangel, he had authority over that king of Persia, prince of Persia, moved him out the way. And then the victory came through. All the way to Daniel, friends. Sometimes we don't understand what's taking place in heavenly places. You'll just see there's a spiritual warfare going on inside of your life. You're seeking God with all your heart, with a sincerity, seeking something for his glory, for his kingdom, something which you desperately need. That's why the Bible says you need to be steadfast. We need to be persistent. We need to stay there. We need to wait upon the Lord. You need to keep feeding your soul upon the promises of God. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disheartened when these kind of things take place. Because from the moment that you first set yourself to seek the Lord, he hears your prayer and he starts moving things, friends. But God has his time when the final answer is going to come through. But I love it with Daniel, the way that he stayed there right to the end. And that's why the scripture which we quoted in the beginning in Ephesians 6, spiritual warfare. Let's just remember what the Apostle Paul tells us once again about the whole armor of God. Ephesians 6, from verse 10. He's finishing off, like us. He says, finally, my brethren, we'll finish with that finally. Be strong in the Lord. We can't be strong in us on our own because it's a spiritual battle. We need to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's how we're going to overcome. Put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And friends, wrestling is a serious thing. That's a battle of power. Something trying to wrestle you and you're trying to wrestle something back. That's a resisting that you've got to do. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Now friends, think about it. Let me tell you about the Prince of Dublin. This Prince of Dublin has had authority in this place for millenniums now. There's never been truth really in Dublin. The Reformation never came to Ireland. Never did. Never. There was no one of the ministers of the Reformation spoke in Gaelic. So it never came to Ireland. Ireland was first under paganism, under the Druids and them back there. And the Viking religion that came in those days. Then it came under Catholicism. The last revival in Ireland was under Columba. 400 and something AD. Friends, that's 1600 years ago. You're telling me that this is a small devil that's in charge of this place. This power and principality, the ruler of this darkness over this land. It's not an easy prince, this one that we're fighting against. I remember when we started church here, the ministers, Brother George Quinn and them, good brothers, they told us, Brother George Quinn told Brother George after saying, "Nay, brother, we didn't think it was going to last long because many people have tried to start things in Dublin, but it never ever prospered." And the brothers had come themselves and preached on the streets and tried different things and nothing ever happened in Dublin. Friends, by the grace of God, God brought us here and look what's happening. We might not be the most powerful people in the world, but I'm so glad to say that for 12 years we've been prevailing against the Prince of Dublin here. No matter what he does, we come, we worship, we sing. People have been healed. People have found salvation. May not be what we desire it to be, but I'm so glad to see that there's been some beating up of the devil now and again. And I'm sure you and I would want more of it. And I'm sure the Lord wants more of it as well. But you think the devil wants it? He doesn't want that. That's why he's going to come and try to bring confusion. He's going to try to bring everything that he possibly can to sidetrack people, get people disputing with each other. Friends, let's have nothing to do with those things. I was going to preach tonight about returning to the original commission. That's all that we need to do. Let's remember our commission here. The Great Commission. Go forth. Go into all nations. Preach the gospel to every creature. That's our commission and we need to go back to it, friends. We've been out on the streets already, but we need to do it on a regular basis. We need to get out there, friends, with this banner of truth that God has given us in this age. And we need to be persistent. But we can't do it if there's people who aren't behind us praying for us. If there's not intercession and prayer to break down the powers and principalities. If there's not people united together around a common cause. It becomes so difficult to do. That if we could come together as a people of God and say, let's forget about all the other differences, the foolish things of this life, and let's come around one purpose that we can fulfill our commission in this place. Friends, what a wonderful thing it will be. But you're going to have to be determined. You're going to have to be perseverant, friends. We're going to have to resist our enemy because he's going to resist us. Don't expect when you start getting out there. We've been out of 3 times the last few months. Don't expect when you get outside of there, friends, that the devil's not going to raise his head and start to come and cause a fuss. But great is he that is in us. And if we can just get clothed in the robes of salvation, clothed in the robes of redemption, and just offer ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, we want to fulfill our commission in this place, the reason that you sent us here, I believe that God will bless us in the things that we do. That's why this Prince of Dublin, he'll do all that he can. Look what it says in verse 13. Wherefore, because of this spiritual wickedness, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. So you're going to have an evil day. There's going to be days of victory. There's going to be seasons of joy. But there's going to be an evil day comes your way as well. And might come on a regular basis. Everybody has an evil day. Everybody has a season where everything starts going against you. And that's why Paul is saying, make sure you got the full armor of God, that when you come to the end of that evil day, because an evil day has a beginning and an evil day has an end. It has a dawning and it has a sunset. And you want to make sure that when the sun is going down of your evil day, you're still standing in the battlefield. Even if you're like Eleazar, the son of Dodo, and that sword, your hand clings to your sword. What a blessed testimony that it would be if you come to the end of the day like that. He says that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Still standing, friends. Not knocked down, but still standing. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness a clear heart, clean heart, clear conscience before God, an uncondemned heart, friends. That's what you need. The breastplate of righteousness, friends. Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ah, friends, how wonderful the Bible says it. How blessed are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good news. You know the song we sing about it? My, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. And friends, we need just to go back to that commission, because that's our commission. It doesn't matter anything else that we do in this life. We may get degrees until we can plaster our wall. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. We may get so many homes that we can own an estate. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But friends, anything short of us fulfilling our commissioning, we failed. And our commission in a place like that is, let's get out there with our feet, shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's go back to the original commission once again and look at the purpose that we're sent here for. And let's unite around that and go forward in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, bearing the banner of evening light, like the prophet said, and keeping our guns trained against a common enemy and fulfilling a common destiny that God has predestinated us to fulfill together. And I think God will bless us. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith. Friends, I'm so glad for the message of the hour. Revelation, the shield of faith. So when the devil shoots the fiery darts in these days, friends, his devices have been exposed in the message of the hour. His tactics, his thoughts, his purposes have been exposed. God has given us a great shield of faith. But we've got to keep ourselves in the message of the hour, that you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And verse 17, take the helmet of salvation. Brother Tay was saying it so wonderfully. Friends, you got to be so sure in your mind. Don't let the devil play around in your mind about your salvation. You need to be able to say, I'm saved. Jesus died for me. That day on Calvary, he purchased my salvation. My sins are gone. You'll ask me where they are. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from day. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. The helmet of salvation. And friends, you can't have the helmet of salvation if your mind is always on worldly things. If your mind is thinking dirty thoughts and thinking malice and evil and revenge and things like that. No, the helmet of salvation, friends. That's what we need. And the sword of the Spirit. That is the Spirit-quickened word. That is the anointed word. That's what you want in your life. That's what I want in my life. That God in my current situation can quicken a promise to me, and that can overcome the devil in my life now. The sword of the Spirit. It's like the Spirit is giving you a sword to use to overcome the condition that you're currently in. Verse 18, praying always. That's why we'll rearrange it for next Saturday by the grace of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It's not just praying for ourselves, but praying for the believers. Praying for the saints. Praying for the needs that we have. Verse 19, and what more? And for me, Paul, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul wanted people to pray for him. And friends, we need to be in prayer one for another. And I'm sure that you feel exactly the same in this kind of a season. Maybe we can stand. Let's sing one song. We asked Brother Mike would come forward. Let's sing that song. We won't sing the whole song before we come to a time of prayer. Let's sing that song. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? When the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Let's just sing a couple of verses, a couple of choruses. Let's just put ourselves for a few minutes before the Lord before we go home this evening. Let's pray for Brother Bishop that things will be well for the brother, that they'll test him, whatever, and send him home, that you'll be together with him. He's in hospital, so we're asking the grace of God on him. Let's pray for Brother Johnny. He said he's feeling a lot better, but he's got to go for a scan on his stomach on Monday. They just want to make sure that there's nothing wrong there, so he really does need the grace of God. And any other needs that we have, saints, let's pray for one another. Let's pray for service on Sunday, that the Lord may grant us grace and meet his people. Let's pray for revelation. Let's pray for mercy. Let's pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon our lives, our homes, our families. And may God bless and help us.
A soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, yes. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Shining crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Must I be carried to the skies of flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through blood. We shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown, yes. We shall wear a crown. And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new shining crown. When the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? It is thy world a friend to grace, to help me on to God.
Alleluia.
And when the battle is over,
we shall wear a crown.
Wear a crown. Yes. We shall wear a crown. Yes. We shall wear a crown.
Ooh.
And when the battle is over,
we shall wear a crown
in the new Jerusalem.
Wear
a bright and a shining crown. And when the battle is over,
we shall wear a crown
in the new Jerusalem.
my courage, Lord. I bear the toil and you, the pains of all, till by thy word.
Oh, hallelujah.
And when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown.
Wear a crown.
Yes, we shall wear a crown.
Oh, we shall wear a crown.
Ooh, and when the battle is over, we shall wear a crown in the new Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
Oh, wear a crown.
Wear a crown,
wear a
crown,
wear
a crown,
wear a bright,
ooh,
and a shiny crown.
Ooh,
and when the battle is over,
over, we shall wear a
crown in the new Jerusalem.
This will come to time of prayer. The song says, sure, I must fight if I should reign. Increase my courage, Lord. Let's seek that by the grace of... Just ask Brother Will if you wouldn't mind coming forward to close in prayer. Just to the people who came late, just to say that there were so many people today who had to work, go to college and other things. So we thought what to do, our special prayer meeting. We'll move it to next Saturday night by the grace of God. Have a time of consecration and pray. So that's why tonight we just had a normal service. As we were saying, it's spiritual warfare. Friends, Satan, he fights. He really does. That's how we need to be determined. May the Lord help us. May the Lord grant us traveling mercies. And God bless everybody who has come. Just ask our brother to close for us in prayer in Jesus' name.
Father, we thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you've been merciful to us, Father.
Yes, Lord.
For we did see it, Lord, how the devil is always trying to hinder the work of your people, Lord, that
yes,
they're
Lord.
Doing for you, for your kingdom.
Amen.
But Father, we believe you and we believe thy word and we know it, Lord, that you are stronger than him.
Amen.
Father, you are mightier. You are our shield and our buckler.
Amen.
Father, you are our tower of strength.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, Father, whatever the devil would try to do,
Amen.
Father, we just take refuge in you, Lord, and
yes,
we just
Lord.
Praise your name, for we know.
Amen.
Father,
yes.
that you have won the victory.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just have to stand and be courageous, Lord.
Amen. Yes.
We thank you, Father, that you have never forsaken us, Lord.
Amen.
Even when we thought that you forsook us. But when we look back, we see, Lord, that you never forsook us, Lord.
Amen,
you
Lord.
Were with us, Lord.
Amen.
Fighting our battles, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we thank you tonight, Lord. Where it was not possible for so many people to be here, Lord.
Amen.
But you made a way where there was no way, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Father, Lord God, we just pray for the brethren that are at work, in college, and we commit them to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That you be with them, and we pray for our brother bishop in hospital.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we bring him before you. We
Amen.
Know you, Lord, Father, even through the testimony of him, Lord, how you raised him. From a bed of sickness, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Father,
yes, Lord.
From the land of the dead.
Amen.
Father, and he is walking amongst us. And we pray
Amen.
You would do the same, Lord. And
yes,
just
Lord.
Everything would go well for him. We pray for Brother Johnny.
Amen.
Father God, the thing that you done for him even just a few weeks ago.
Yes, Lord.
How you raised him up, Lord, from this bed of sickness.
Amen.
Lord, Father, we pray that these reviews would just go well, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
And we pray for Brother David, Lord, that
Amen.
You would continue, Lord, to touch him
Amen.
Until he's fully recovered,
Please,
Father.
Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for your word that comes every time in
Amen.
Season.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, to refocus our eyesight once again.
Yes, Lord.
For the devil is always trying, Lord, Father, to dim it, Lord.
Amen.
But we are thankful for your word,
yes,
for
Lord.
It always gives us encouragement.
Yes,
it always, Lord, Father, resharpen, Lord, Father, the vision that is before us, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
For you send us here for a purpose.
Yes, Lord.
And this land, Lord, Father of Dublin, Lord.
Amen.
Father, you've given it into our hands.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, even as Joshua had to
Amen.
Go and conquer, Lord, that
yes.
place, Lord.
Amen.
Father God, it wasn't easy, but you were with him.
Yes,
and we know you are with us, Lord, and
yes,
we shall
Lord.
Go forth, Lord, and
Amen.
Just do our part, for we
yes.
know you are able, Lord, Father,
Amen.
To bring this demon of doubling, Lord, under subjection.
Amen.
To rebuke him, Lord, and loosen the land, Father, that your people that are in this place might be saved, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Help us, Father, that as we would go home, we continue to meditate upon this word.
Amen.
Father, help us and keep us in the spirit of expectation.
Please, Lord.
That as we come on Sunday, Lord, we would immediately get into one accord.
Please, Lord.
Father, that your spirit might come down, Lord,
please,
and that
Lord.
We might continue to enjoy thy presence and to praise you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless our brother as we would go home. Give him strength, Lord,
please,
as he
Lord.
Prepares himself for Sunday.
Please, Lord.
We commit him to your hands, Father,
Lord,
that you would use him once more.
Amen.
Father, we pray, Lord, even for the Sunday school teachers.
Yes.
Watch over them, Lord, and the musicians.
Please,
as
Lord.
They all prepare for the Sunday service. Lord, even every brother and sister, as we prepare ourselves for this service, Lord,
Amen.
Help us to do
Please,
the
Lord.
Right preparation.
Yes.
That as we would come, Lord, it would be easy, Lord, for your spirit to just take control of
Please,
everything, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Bless our sisters that are expecting. We pray
Amen.
For Sister Rosa, Lord,
Please,
and
Lord.
Sister Shaky. We commit
Amen.
Them to you, Lord. May
yes,
you
Lord.
Be merciful to them
Please, Lord.
And keep them safe, Lord. We pray, Lord, and ask that you take control of everything now. As we commit, Lord, everything that was said and done to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So say thanks to Brother Mike, to Brother Kingsley. May the Lord bless them as well. Amen.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Oh, his wonderful passion and purity. Oh, thou Spirit divine, oh, my nature refine till the beauty of Jesus be seen. Oh, thou Spirit divine, oh, my nature refine till the beauty of Jesus be seen in me. Oh, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me, his wonderful passion and purity. Oh, thou Spirit divine, oh, my nature refine till the beauty of Jesus be seen.